listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 234 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I am okay.
Just the two iPads today.
Yeah. Don't like to overload.
Can you get the show notes up on that one?
I can.
So I can see what we're talking about. Not that I've forgotten.
You mean you don't know what we're talking about?
I know exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about kids leaving home, aren't we? Flying the nest.
Are you going now?
And that emotional separation that happens when it will happen to me and my little boys at some point.
Well, you said to me earlier on that you should start training them now.
To say goodbye. We'll come on to all that. We'll come on to all that, separation and what have you.
You're going to be wrapping their sandwiches in a roadmap and telling them to clear up.
Yeah, well, I've got you. I'm getting set. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. All the show notes and links. There's about we've got a book on the website, Live in the Present, the book. Make a lovely Christmas present, don't you
think?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. People already started asking me whether we got them in stock for Christmas.
So. Really? Yeah. We do have them in stock, ready to go. And if you put your email address in the box on the website to sign up to our list, you'll get some free meditation files, other bits and bobs, and a discount code for said book. So not too shabby, that, is it?
Very good.
How you been? What's up?
I'm good. I'm good. We had Ree's birthday celebrations at the weekend, so the kids arranged a Mad Hatter's tea party.
Are we allowed to know how old Ree is?
Mad. Yeah, she's 27.
Oh, she's, yeah, I thought maybe 29. So she's, yeah, very good. She's doing well.
She's just a year younger than me.
I want to offer a formal public apology. I know I was supposed to show up on Sunday with my clan. And we
waited in all day.
We didn't show up, did we?
Weeping and crying, we were waiting for you to come.
My apologies, Ree. We'll be along soon. We've got a present for you. Don't worry, we've got a present for you. I was actually at a tree planting ceremony in the woods in our back garden, the woods beyond.
Yeah, right.
There's a little tree planting ceremony that went on because some of the neighbours that live in our area have formed a little group and managed to get a little pot of money, I think, and a little kind of community thing on the go.
So why were they planting a tree?
Mainly, there's been something by the Woodland Trust. There's a report done in the woods there just to kind of see what kind of habitat it is and how it can be improved. And they sent, I think, as part of that pack, a tree was given that can be planted, because there's a lot of trees, dead trees, that need to come down in the woods. About 10
there
or 11.
There would be firewood.
Firewood, yes. I'll let you know, don't worry. I'm gone. It's paused. Oh, thought we had some trouble there. No, we're back on track. So yeah, it was really cool. And there was a couple of sheep randomly in the woods. I'm not sure quite why, but
how do you get sheep in those woods?
Someone brought some sheep. Yeah.
Oh, right. They weren't,
and
just,
then our local,
they weren't wild sheep.
Our MP even showed up to kind of say hello and see what was going on. Very nice. There's only about 12, 15 people there, but nice little community thing on the go.
Yeah, very good.
Should we mention as well the royal engagement? Big news of the week. Is it big news?
Well, for some people, yeah.
Is it for you?
It's huge. It's kind of, I guess it's a nice, the idea that we got a mixed race lady coming into what has been like a white bastion, you know?
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's good news. They seem like a nice couple. He's a good guy, Harry, yeah?
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy.
Pretty down to earth.
I told you the other day, didn't I, that I had to fill in a form in one of the hospitals I work in. So I put myself down as mixed race.
Well, we all are, really.
Well, I think we all are mixed race.
How far
race,
back do you want to go?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to start doing that, just to annoy people.
Yeah.
Great shout. Did you really do that?
I did, yeah. And the lady said to me, but you're a white Caucasian. And I said, no, I'm like you. I'm British, which means I'm mixed race.
Yes, right on. Well said, Sean. It's good that I never even thought of doing that one.
Yeah.
Cool. Should we crack on with this week's show?
Yeah.
We've had an email in from a listener. We love getting emails and suggestions for the show, so send us a message via the website or on Facebook, Twitter, if there's anything you would like us to discuss. But this friend of the show was emailed in to say that his son has left for university, well, a couple of months ago, and he wants a bit of advice on how to deal with a sudden separation of him and his child, because it's kind of a big thing for the family, really, isn't it? And also teaching from the other side how to let the child let go, because I'm sure if it was anything like me, when I left, I tried to kind of play tough. I went 200 miles to Newcastle to uni. I was trying to act big and tough, and yeah, off I go. But really, it's quite a big deal, so I was a bit nervous about it.
I was thinking about that when you were talking earlier on, and because I left home in different circumstances younger, I'd already prepared to leave home before I left.
You left when you were what?
I was 15.
You're quite a rare example.
But I'd decided to go a year before that, and
How much did you plan then? What did you have an escape route and a
I'd gone to the careers master at school and got myself a job and all that kind of stuff, and I'd gone for interviews and arranged it all. But I was in a situation where, because I'd decided that's what I was going to do, I had a year to prepare, so I didn't have that shock of like suddenly going kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, I'd already got my head around it before I went. Mm-hmm. I was still a bit emotional going.
Yeah.
But
did you say goodbye?
I had a weird thing where I hadn't been back for about a month, and I went back to pick up my stuff, and I got hustled into the kitchen by my parents, who said to me, "You don't have to go, you know, you don't have to leave."
Do you remember that quite vividly?
I do, yeah.
Whoa.
And I said some very short words with four letters in and left.
And that was that?
Yeah.
Well, in the that's yours is quite an unusual example. In the case of our listener, I'm assuming that it was all on pretty good terms.
An
emotional thing to let go and say goodbye. I mean, yeah, with me, with my two little 3 and 6 year old, blimey, I can't imagine not having them around the house. And that's one of the things that we want to discuss, really, is that the vibe of the house will change completely if it's maybe all your kids have gone, or just one, even the kind of the routine.
I think if one kid goes, then it's going to change that whole dynamic, isn't it, of the world that you're in.
Who's in charge of the telly, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and even if the child who's gone is someone who has been a bit awkward, maybe shouty or, you know, dominating television and stuff like that, the fact that they've gone still leaves a hole.
Yeah.
You know, and we all have to adjust to that. Do you remember episodes ago we talked about John Bowlby, attachment theory?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and he, a really interesting guy to read up on, but he developed attachment theory in psychology, which looks at how we make connections and we break connections. And he talks about how if your early childhood experiences are positive attachments with other people, when it comes for those attachments ending or moving on, it's much more a positive experience. Whereas if people are anxiously attached or angrily attached, when the detachment happens, you get all the emotion, the anxiety and the anger coming out.
Wow, okay.
So it's useful if you are feeling particularly anxious about the detachment of a child leaving, either as a child or as a parent, is to just go and read a bit around John Bowlby. Because there's a whole load of knowledge in there, which will give you the opportunity to reprocess your attachments.
Okay.
So they do become different.
John Bowlby. We'll stick a link in the show notes.
Yeah, popped a link at the bottom.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Lovely. Yeah. Make sure that one goes in, worth investigating. Yeah. I mean, my story may have been quite similar to our listeners, actually, in terms of when I went to uni. I mean, we go to uni for various reasons, don't we? It's not just the qualification and the kind of the job prospect lack. It's also to kind of learn a bit of independence, isn't it?
Well, it depends, isn't it? Because if you look at what's happening now, I'm not sure on the stats, but what I'm reading is that many children are deciding to go to university close to home so they can still stay at home to avoid all the costs of...
I haven't got any numbers to hand as to how that's changed. Yeah, I mean, I can believe that for sure, especially because it is super-duper expensive now.
Yeah.
I mean,
you went 100 miles away. 200 miles away. So the kids around us, if they're going to either Chester or Liverpool, they're in an easy commute to go from one to the other.
Yeah, it was really deliberate for me as well. I mean, I could have studied the courses that I was looking at closer by, for sure. I mean, Liverpool, John Moores, quite easily.
So what made you go for that?
Newcastle in particular, or Northumbria. Just the course was right. I mean, the course that I did is multimedia design, so it's basically what I do now.
Didn't you have family connections there as well, though?
Yeah. So it wasn't part of it. It's a kind of a city that I knew-ish from my childhood.
Yeah.
And I did have aunties and uncles, which I'd never actually... Well, I very rarely saw when I was up there, but I guess maybe when I made a decision, I thought, oh, it would be nice because if I do get struggle or whatever, I'll be able to pop in around there for tea, etc. Yeah. I never did. I think I went around like once or twice in my whole 3 years.
Yeah.
But I looked at courses in Carlisle, Dundee even as well. It was quite deliberate. I wanted to move away.
Did you want independence?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I wasn't like hell bent on it because I had a really good group of friends on the world. But I knew they would still be there when I was finished. But I wanted to do something different and go somewhere else. Glad I did, but it wasn't easy. I remember being quite upset and tearful in the car on the drive up with my parents, getting texts from pals and that, saying goodbye and see you when you're back, and, you know, Christmas or whatever. And then saying goodbye to my mum as well and dad when we finally kind of unpacked all the stuff into my room in the city there. And yeah, again, getting quite tearful, and my mum was upset as well. But in a good way, you know, it's a big deal, right? Then quickly, you know, you're very quickly into that, as a student for me anyway, very quickly into that new life. You go back to your room, you unpack, and then you're off down to wherever to kind of meet people on your course, and the next day you're getting stuck into it, so there's not much time really to...
But you do get, the pastoral services in colleges and universities do deal a lot with people suffering from homesickness,
right?
And you get depression and anxiety happening in that first year. Not uncommon.
I was just saying to Lee in the office here before, my first year at uni wasn't that much fun. The course was great. My pals on the course were cool, and we used to go out twice a week into the city, having some fun and games. But the other, aside from that, it wasn't the halls I were in was just like a prison, really. And for a prison cell, so we'd have our dinner in like a communal area.
And then you'd go back to your cell.
There wasn't like a lounge where you would all meet. Everyone on the floor would meet to watch telly. So my first year had its, you know, had ups, had some quite big downs as well, really. And then second year, I moved into a house with course pals, and that was awesome.
Then it was okay.
It was brilliant from then on.
But
that's from the student. In fact, there was a student in my year. I think he was a Russian student who committed suicide in that first year.
Wow.
And he lived in the block opposite. I don't know exactly what his reasons were or what got on, but wouldn't surprise me hugely if it was to do with not being being comfortable in your surroundings.
It happens, yeah. Mm.
But yeah, that's from the student side. So from the parent side, I mean, I know just from the various... time when, like, we might get a Saturday night to ourselves, and the grandparents will have the kids, and we'll drop them off, and then we'll go back to the house to kind of get ready or just to chill out, whatever we've been doing. Is that weird kind of eerie silence in the house? It's really strange. Like, we're just supposed to sit there not knowing what to do. We might have an hour to kill before we go out. We're just kind of sitting there with nothing to do, because our whole lives at the moment revolve around getting tea ready, getting bags ready, getting things, boys to bed, getting them bathed, all that stuff.
Maybe what you're describing is something that other people should see as something of importance, in the sense of being able to ensure that couples maintain their identity as a couple.
Yeah.
I think there is an issue of rites of passage, that, and it's because we define ourselves not by who we are, but by what we do. Especially for women. If you're a woman in these kinds of circumstances, and you're... in a situation where your answer to who am I is I am a mother, and your child has suddenly disappeared, who am I now? And that can be true in terms of rites of passage much more for women than men. When the last child goes to school, when the last child leaves school, when the last child leaves home, they're all different places where that idea about who am I changes.
Yep.
But that's also true for the child moving out, because if I'd been a child, as in I'm dependent on these other people around me, suddenly I'm independent, who am I now?
Yeah. But who you are isn't a static thing, right?
So no, it changes all the time.
And you need to be aware that things will change and needs to change, so perhaps...
If life has been static for a while, you know, every morning I've got up, I've taken the kids to school, I've done this, I do that, you know, I do the meals, and then suddenly there's nobody to do those things for.
Mm-hmm.
It's like many women at that point feel like the meaning in life is gone, especially if they've been full-time mothers.
And will you see people in your consulting room that have reached that at that point? So what are you kind of advise? You tell them to go get a job or to get some hobbies on the go?
It's the issue of now's your opportunity to discover who you are.
Yeah.
And that might be quite a convoluted task, because if I'm saying to people, okay, you need to do things that make you feel good, and they're saying to me, what made me feel good was being a mother. I'm not a mother anymore.
Yeah.
So you have to work through all those issues about, you know, who was I before I was a mother? You know, that kind of stuff.
We've got some friends at church who, I don't know if this is the reason they made the decision at all, but possibly, who fostered a couple of young lads once their other kids were grown up and moved out.
Yeah.
Maybe that was a reaction to, partly, you know, to do some good, I'm sure, but also just to kind of fill that gap
with
more childcare.
Yeah.
And it's super, and it's been amazing actually watching them, and pretty... The two boys that they took on were quite a handful, but you've seen them, and I've seen them over the last couple of years, kind of mould them into decent little human beings.
I think that all those ideas about maintaining the relationships within the family, which aren't just about the husband and wife, or parents and kids, but also the bigger family, because it is when those dynamics change. It's the way that we live, isn't it? When we have big extended families, people coming and going and moving around, all the stress was managed by the larger unit. But now we're little nuclear units, like two people with a bunch of kids. When those kids go, we are barren, we're lost, we're alone. Mm-hmm. Because if we're part of a bigger thing, which could be a family group, it could be a friendship group. But it's realising the importance of nurturing those relationships, as well as nurturing the family relationship, so that when those changes happen, you don't feel abandoned and lost.
Yep.
Mm. Mm. I mean, you're in a good situation because you do have a strong family around you, do you?
Yeah, yeah. Super lucky. Yeah, grandparents all over the show and beyond the friends and family.
Yeah.
Aunties and uncles and all that lark.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome, really.
But I think that the other thing about this is the idea... In the beginning, it's like, how do you prepare the children to go? And in preparing the children, you're actually preparing yourself.
Yeah.
So it could be that you're making sure they've got kind of cooking skills, they can iron their own clothes, they know how to use a washing machine. It could be that you teach them how to cook, you know, that you buy them a cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of stuff, that you go through that preparatory process, because in preparing them as a parent, you're preparing yourself.
Yeah, there's all sorts. There's a thousand things, aren't there, in terms of managing a kind of budget. I remember at uni, I'd kind of like, I think I had about £25 a week budget for food when I went to the supermarket each week to do.
Yeah. And how much did you spend?
I was really good, and I ate really well at uni. You know, once I moved out of halls, because there was a brand new Morrison's opened about half a mile from our house that we lived in, and it was awesome for deals and stuff. But yeah, I was eating like steak and vegetables and boiled potatoes every night with dressing and all that. It was brilliant.
Well,
and I always have my week. I'd have my weekend fry up. That was part of my treat. I could just about afford a pack of sausages, which I could get a meal out of in the week, and some leftover, obviously, for a fry up on a Saturday and a Sunday.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So all that stuff, in terms of managing a budget and stuff is
Could you iron your own clothes?
I could, yeah. I'm still not a very good ironer of clothes. I try and buy clothes that don't need ironing. I don't wear a shirt and tie and all that. So basically when I need a shirt ironed, I'll do it on the fly. You know, I need it.
Can you use the washing machine?
I'm very good with a washing machine. Yeah, no problem at all. Okay. I'm fully domesticated. Yeah, I'm in charge of all that at home now. Anyway, and dishwasher—that's my.
Yeah, right.
That's my domain. No mucking around. Not that we had a dishwasher at uni, but it teaches you all sorts, and it teaches you about living with other people as well, right?
Yeah.
You know, for all its fun and games in year two and three at uni, living with a bunch of other lads is quite testing. When you know you've got your own routine and your own ways, but. Maybe it's preparation for when you're a parent later on.
I think one of the other dynamics that's interesting is that someone goes to uni and they just left their bedroom. Now, the thing is that bedroom still theirs? And they say, well, of course it is. And it can become the guest room, can't it? You know, that kind of stuff. And at what point, maybe for lots of people, moving away from home is a process. You know, maybe they go away for a bit, come back for a bit, go away for a bit until they're gone.
Yeah, well, that's what it was for me, you know, because I would come back, obviously, at Christmas and holidays. And even once I'd finished, I'd come back for 6 weeks in the summer and get, a Saturday weekend job. So earn some money through the summer. And then once I finished uni, I ended up coming back to the world and living with my parents again for about a year, probably, before I got a job. And I bought a flat. So maybe it was so easy for me because I knew that there was, I was always going to come back, or that if I needed to at any point, I could pick up the phone and say, I'm getting on the train, Mum, Dad, I'm not having fun. Can I come back and stay? And they'd be cool with that.
I think one of the other things that we use now is using Skype and FaceTime and stuff like that, which means that you can actually see people.
Yeah, I want to talk about this because part of the email we had through mentioned another parent that the person knew who, talking about that communication balance, and this parent has all the passwords for her daughter's email and Facebook, so they can log in at any point and see what's going on, really.
Not sure about that.
I mean, that seems a little bit over the top. I went to uni in 2001, so I had my little Hotmail address, and Facebook wasn't on the scene then. I used to speak to my mum and dad once a week on the phone, and I would send texts through the week just saying hi and how are you doing. Similar to now, really.
If someone's monitoring your Facebook and your emails, it's hardly like giving you independence.
Yeah.
You need to be autonomous. That sounds to me like overparenting.
A bit overbearing, that.
Yeah, and at what point, if someone's going off to uni at 18 or 19 and you're monitoring all their interactions, at what point do you stop? Do you interview their partners?
Does that signify that the parent doesn't trust them? I think
if you go back to attachment theory, that represents what I'd see as anxious attachment.
Yeah.
Anxious attachment, there's a fear going on. And that issue is likely to be the issue of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a child who... someone who's 18, is going off to uni, who has particular kind of problems that you would be worried about, the thing that you need to do is to get the child to connect with the pastoral services on the ground, not try and monitor and engineer it from a distance. There needs to be someone actually there that can be of use to them, can help them.
Yeah.
You know?
A bit worrying, that one, isn't
it?
That does
concern me a bit.
You've got to trust in the work that you've done in the previous 17, 18 years as a parent, haven't you?
That idea that you let the child go on the basis that we are available, because, like I say, telephone, email, FaceTime, Skype, it's like we're here.
Yeah.
When if you need shouts. Yeah, and if you've got that kind of relationship where the child knows that they can come to you if they need things, that there's safety in that.
I'm looking forward to all that. It does terrify me, because I know that we will do a good job with our kids, and that the family, the grandparents are all going to make sure that they'll be fine, so that when the moment comes to say goodbye, it'll be hard, but they'll be ready.
Yeah,
but I'm quite looking forward to all these little things in the future with my boys. And like, obviously they're too young to have their own phone now, but I think I was chatting with some friends and my wife about when primary school kids get their own phone now, and generally it's year 6, so that's, I think, 11-ish year old. So that I'm looking forward to being able to text my little lad when he's out and about in the day, just to see I've got two boys to see how they're doing and all that kind of stuff. Be quite funny, because I've got some good banter with them already. But
yeah, I don't know. I can remember as a kid on the council estate.
Did you have to find like a payphone and say, I'm just going to stay out another hour, Mum?
No, we didn't have a phone at home.
Okay,
so, right. So you're like a latchkey kid.
What year is this then? This is pre-war.
Yeah. long time ago. This is like a latchkey thing, isn't it? About, you went off and played.
Yeah.
And you came back at tea time. Kind of stuff, you come back for meals, but there was none of this. And I think, in a way, we've become over obsessed. It's like kids don't go out and play anymore because we're too terrified that they're going to get abused.
Eaten by a monster.
That something awful is going to happen rather than just allowing kids to get on with stuff.
Mm.
You know, it's like you can't climb a tree anymore because if you fall out, you hurt yourself. But that's how you learn.
Yeah, my eldest learned that lesson a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Six stitches.
Yeah.
Okay. You've got to have faith in the universe, haven't you, man?
Yeah. All you're teaching your child is great levels of anxiety. You know, we say, why is anxiety on the increase in society? If we teach our children that it's scary to go out and be yourself, then they're going to be anxious. They pick up on our anxiety,
yep.
And they build on it, and then they give it to their kids with knobs on, and then it builds and builds and builds, as opposed to just letting people be what they need to be.
And they might end up choosing a college or university which is down the road as opposed to 200 miles away.
I think there is a lot of that. I do know children who are staying at home because they're too anxious to go out into the world.
Mm.
You know, and I don't know what that happens to them when they finish university. You know, one of the predictions is, because of the housing market and because of this increase in anxiety, that we can expect children to be at home into their 30s. So, like, 21 has now become 31.
Yep.
You know, so maybe we'll have a 31 celebration, clear the door, you know, get out.
There's a Guardian article I'm going to link to in the show notes, which has got a nice line about often, though, the physical separation itself is not the hardest part. Rather, it is the daily reality of living with your child no longer at home. So I guess the trick is to see, once they've gone off and you've left them and they're having fun, getting to know future friends, who knows, why, partners, whoever, is taking that feeling of kind of, I don't know, grief almost, and flipping it and turning it into a positive, and how that you've got this whole new path in front of you now, which isn't yet written.
Yeah.
Maybe there's things that you wanted to do that you can now do.
Yeah.
So don't be wallowing.
But we're back into this position of who am I?
Yeah.
It's like people being able to discover who I am now. And indeed, as you get older, you know, discovering becoming a grandparent or that kind of stuff, like your parents have done. You know, and the idea that I, as a person, have things to do for me in my own right that don't involve supporting children.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you're already talking in terms of my life is locked around these kids, and that's great, and it's good for the kids, it's good for you, as long as you don't lose that perspective of who Ed is and who B is, and that you keep that together.
Yeah.
Yeah, else it does become, and I've seen it happen loads of times, that when the kids finally go, that the relationship that's left with the parents is kind of meaningless.
You can say, yeah, you left with this person in your house that you don't feel like you know anymore.
Who are you?
Wow.
And it's important that you do keep feeding that relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Or should we go on to resources?
Yeah, no. I put two resources in. I put a resource in for the kids, which is it's I put in the Amazon page, which has all the books about how do you leave home, how do you go to uni, the things that you need to do, and it's good to have a kind of a look through those.
Yeah.
But one of those would certainly be good reading for people, and the other one for the adults is the issues of attachment. So it's Bowlby's, one of Bowlby's attachment books.
Okay.
Yes, Bowlby and Ainsworth. Which for me is a good book, but understanding yourself and why you are feeling what you're feeling is the key to overcoming it.
Right.
And certainly not passing your anxiety on to your kids.
Okay.
Is it? Yeah.
Like it. I'll stick this up. I've just desperately been looking for a resource of the week. It's not particularly related to the show, but I've been really enjoying the joe.co.uk video podcast with James O'Brien. He's a radio presenter, and it's like, it's quite a long format. It's an hour-long sit-down interview with interesting people, journalists, kind of actors.
He hasn't had me on.
They're only five episodes in, so...
They should have us on.
I'll stick that in the show notes. Subscribe on YouTube and what have you, and enjoy.
Yep.
We'll be back next week, won't we, Sean?
We will indeed. I should be in sunny Qatar, so
we'll
be doing a long distance.
We're going to have to do it YouTube.
Yep. Or hang out or something.
I'll be ready.
Okay.
Right, you have a good week.
Will do.
See you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.